Yahweh, what a beautiful, beautiful song. Oh, yes. Hey, good morning to our friends on the West Coast and Central Standard Time. And good afternoon to our friends on the East. And welcome. This is the Eden as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show with your host, Ann Wooten Taylor. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, my friend. How are you?
Oh, I'm feeling great. That song does it for me every time.
Every time. It's like you trying to, you daring me to go all the way in on the radio.
I am. I am. Absolutely.
That's the one right there. I love that song.
Oh, one of my favorites. Yahweh, David G, folks, from that Yahweh album. Yeah, I love it. I absolutely love it. As a matter of fact, that album is outstanding, the entire album. It's called Yahweh. Okay.
I got to buy the album. You keep telling me that that's the name of it. You would think I figured it out by now.
Yeah.
I got to do it. It's awesome. I mean, that one song, it's worth it, if nothing else. It ushers you right on into the presence of the Lord if you didn't know how to get there on your own.
Oh my goodness. Make me want to shout here now.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not ashamed to do that either. But anyway, man, I know you have, the lineup is excellent today. You and the boys.
Yeah. It's a blessing because I have been blessed to be a part of two anthologies this year. And so, the guest that we have today on the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show, she's supposed to be on in February, but all kinds of stuff went on in life. And so she's here now to talk about the Love Manifesto anthology, and the boys will be interviewing the ladies on the other anthology that I worked on. So it's amazing. They are all just awesome, awesome women of God. Minister Chaney, who will be on, she and I met through Godlog magazine, and she's just been awesome the whole time that I've known her. So, you know, it's amazing. I know a lot of people in Atlanta, but I don't hang out in that area. I think it's Dr. Latangela Crossfield who's there, and I think Dr. Snipes is there, and they're my connection to Minister Chaney. And they also, the Love Manifesto anthology is Dr. Latangela Crossfield's baby. So it's just God's divine connections have just been phenomenal.
Amazing.
In my life. So I'm blessed. How are you doing though, my friend?
Oh, I'm doing
right over there.
Oh, I'm doing great. Doing great. Well, I'm going to step aside because I'm excited about your guest and I want to hear everything that you ladies have to say.
Well, awesome, awesome, awesome. Thank you, William, for graciously getting out of the way. Don't forget to check your text messages. I sent you something.
Hey, folks, that's a nice way of kicking me off the show, okay?
All right. And giving you something to do so you won't be, you know, just wandering around twisting your fingers. That way you got something to do.
We'll speak later.
All right. Hey, everybody. I'm Ann Wooten Taylor. I'm the CEO of Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries, and you've tuned in to the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries radio show. Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries is a nonprofit organization. We teach the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. I know all of you have been wondering, okay, so when are we going to have the next class? August 21st. Circle your calendars. August 21st of 2023, this year, starting at 6 o'clock, as usual, we will begin the Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries health and fitness course. Yes, yes, yes. So wherever you are in the world, you will be able to join us because it's going to be on Zoom. Registration will be open soon. So you all will be able to sign up, but we are looking forward to a blessed class. So get ready to join us, okay? Because we're excited about being with all of you. For those of you who have been waiting for your weekly motivation, I know you missed it last week because of Mother's Day weekend, and I'm sorry if it kind of threw you off and you had a little setback, but that's okay. We're here to get you back on track. For those of you who are new to us, let me explain. Our weekly motivation is designed to encourage you to stay the course. If you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, we want to inspire you to get up and try again if you fell down somewhere along the way. And if you haven't been able to find a reason to get healthy and fit, we want to encourage you, motivate you to get healthy and fit through Christ. So today's motivation is entitled, Let God Work in You. When it comes to getting healthy and fit, we're constantly reminded that doing so will take a lot of hard work. However, no one ever stops to think that you must first allow God to do His work within you. I'll be honest, I used to wonder how people could get up early in the morning to go jogging. I stared at people who ate salads without salad dressing in absolute awe. I was envious of the girls at the gym wearing the skimpy workout clothes on their perfect bodies. I couldn't help but ask myself why they had willpower to stick with a diet and exercise plan. And at the time, I didn't. I was ashamed of the fact that I was too undisciplined to get up at 5 a.m. every morning to work out. Instead, I preferred to sleep an extra hour or two or three. Those thoughts were almost always accompanied by feelings of shame, failure, and doubt that this time would be any different from the last time I tried to lose weight. To this day, I still don't know the answer to the question. When I see a woman pushing her kid in a stroller as she runs, I don't know whether it's a normal thing for her to be at the track that day, where she dragged herself out of bed kicking and screaming for the first time since giving birth. And neither do you. The person in the restaurant eating a vegetable plate may be doing so for the first time since falling back into their old unhealthy eating habits for 6 weeks. Likewise, the girl in the skimpy workout clothes who looks like she's having the time of her life on a treadmill may be working out because she gained 10 pounds. And for the first time in her life, she realizes she has to make some changes to her lifestyle to keep her weight under control. She's singing to the music, not because she's having fun, but because she's trying to find a way to get through another workout session just like you. You can speculate all day about what motivates another person to adopt and maintain a healthy lifestyle, but it's a fruitless exercise because you'll never know the truth unless the other person tells you. Sometimes the truth of the matter is that the person hasn't adopted a healthier habit at all. On the contrary, the individual whose body you're coveting may be at the gym to mask the fact that she binges and purges regularly. But to all the world, she simply appears to be another workout junkie. The person who's rapidly losing weight could have had gastric bypass surgery or suffer from an illness. Nevertheless, the enemy wants you to make unfair comparisons and dwell on those negative thoughts in order to belittle you in your own eyes. He wants you to measure yourself against everyone else and find yourself lacking. He wants you to covet someone else's healthy and fit-looking body without knowing that person is just two payments away from being unable to afford to have a lap band implanted on their stomachs tightened again to keep the weight off. To this day, I don't love to work out, and I still don't fully understand the people who do. However, I do love my Lord. Consequently, I count it as a simple thing to show Him I love and worship Him by obeying His commands to eat and drink for His glory and maintain the temple of His Holy Spirit by exercising. My God is worthy of the sacrifice to eat right and exercise because of the price He paid for me on the cross, where He put to death gluttony and food and beverage idolatry to heal me by His stripes and make me the new, healthy and fit creature that I desired in my heart to be. If you count Him worthy of those same sacrifices, you'll discover that it's not your willpower that makes you choose to eat healthy foods and beverages. It's not self-discipline that causes you to rise early to walk in your neighborhood. On the contrary, when you surrender to His will in faith, love, and obedience, a strength exchange takes place, whereby God's strength is perfected in your weakness. For it is God which works in you, both to will and to do His good pleasure. If you want God to work in you to make you healthy and fit for life through Christ, purchase your copies of the Eating as an Act of Worship workbook and the Eating as an Act of Worship Teacher's Edition online today at Amazon or BarnesandNoble.com. In the books, you'll learn the biblical principles about the body, dieting, exercising, and maintaining a healthy body for the glory of God. Don't forget to read our weekly blog for motivation to stay healthy and fit through Christ. And follow us daily on Facebook, Twitter, and Pinterest for recipes and diet and exercise tips. Oh, by the way, we're also on LinkedIn, so you can catch us there too. Tune in to our syndicated radio show on iTunes, Spotify, the DFW Den radio station, Studio W Buzz, and Victory KVDW 100.9 FM, 95.3 FM, and 1530 AM in Little Rock, Arkansas for interviews and health and fitness trends. Lastly, make your tax-deductible donation to Eating as an Act of Worship Ministries at www.eatingasanactofworshipministries.org. All right, everybody. That's your motivation for this week. We hope and pray it encouraged you to stay the course if you've been doing well on your health and fitness journey, that it inspires you to get up and try again if you've fallen down somewhere along the way, and that it motivates you to get healthy and fit through Christ if you haven't been able to find a reason to get motivated on your own. Okay? All right, everybody. Now it is time for me to introduce you to an awesome woman of God. She and I haven't spoken in a long time, but when we do talk, we are usually talking for a while. Minister Stacy Vaughn has been married for 31 years. Yes. She's the mother of three daughters, and she's been a licensed and ordained minister for 31 years. Talk about the lady, her lover, and Lord. Oh my gosh. She's from Philadelphia originally, but she moved to Charlotte in 2017. She's an author, one of the authors collaborating with me and Dr. LaTangela Crossfield and the Love Manifesto anthology. Again, she and I also worked on Godlike magazine together. I believe she was the editor at the time. Yes. We were working together. She's a freelance writer for numerous magazine articles and newspaper editorials. She's a script writer, Garrett Davis Productions, G. Davis TV. She's a talent manager, a civil rights activist with a focus on equality and equity in education. She's an employee advocate, a retired school teacher, and a former academic paraprofessional for students with disabilities. My aunt does that. I mean, teachers are already superheroes, but the ones who work with children with disabilities, there's just another level for you guys. I don't even know what to call it, but it's just awesome because not everybody has a gift, first of all, to teach, but to teach children with disabilities. Yeah. That's just above and beyond. But not only that, I mean, her ministry life is just absolutely impressive. I have a greater respect, and forgive me if this sounds weird, but for those who will teach children and youth, because there's so many ministers who will not go near. I remember being, you know, over the children's ministry, and it was so hard to find ministers who were willing to work with those kids. Yeah. And even parents, I mean, just anybody. So I think you have a true heart for God when you are really cognizant of the fact that he says, suffer the little children to come unto me. Cause they're the ones who are going to be the next leaders in the church. And you wonder why their faith isn't where it is when they don't have people to instruct them who are willing to instruct them. So I have an awesome respect for you, for being a former Bible study instructor, youth ministry, director. It's just a blessing to have people like you who are willing to share with children on their level, the gospel of Jesus Christ. So thank you so much. And not to mention everything else. She got a couple ministries, praising. I mean, she does a lot of other stuff, but I have a very high respect for people who work with children. And then your current projects, in addition to the Love Manifesto anthology, you are writing an inspirational book series to be released this summer. Tell me a little bit about that too, lady. Okay. And welcome to the show.
Hello, hello. Good to talk to you again.
You too. Beautiful. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. You're doing great.
Thank you.
And that's good. And yes, I am working on a devotional series and literally finished the first book of the three book series yesterday afternoon.
Wow. Glory to God.
Screaming and
I know that's a hallelujah moment.
Yes. It's a three book series. And the first book out of that series is, In the Hush.
Wow.
And it talks about meeting God in that quiet and still place. So I'm pretty excited. And I'll relax a little bit this weekend. And then Monday, I'll start on the second book of the series.
While the Holy Spirit is stirring up the gifts, get it done. Yes. Get it done.
Yes. So
well,
excited.
Congratulations. I know what it is like to finish a book. So, gosh. Yes. Yes. It's, you know, people liking it to giving birth, and it, and you are giving birth to something. No, it's not necessarily the type of pain you experience in the hospital, but it's a different type of pushing.
Yes,
it's a different type
yes,
of willing. But when it's done, you still have that same sense of relief and
yes,
gratification
do.
And just thanksgiving to God that we made it through.
Yes. Yes. I'm like one of the books down. I got two more. But I'm going to get there.
Right.
You know? And that's how you feel, you know, because, you know, it's like doing it in trimesters.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You know? So you're like, okay, you make it through the first trimester, and you know, typically what they tell you, you know, as an expectant mother, if we can get you through that first trimester, mm-hmm. you know, then pretty much we can get you through the rest of them. It looks like everything's going to be viable. Everything's going to be safe. And it's just
right.
now it's a matter, you know, of more nurturing and growing to finally get there. So that's how it felt. You know, it's like, woo!
Exactly.
You know, first trimester, that's how it feels, you know.
So. Yes, the publishing part. That part is the hardest for me because, oh my gosh, I love writing, but the editing, oh gosh. And then when the editor gives you back, it's like, I thought I had a degree in English. Why so much red on this sheet?
I won't know till they give it back. So I'm waiting. I just know I'm finished that portion.
Exactly.
But you're right. It still has to go to the editor.
Yeah.
And she still has to, you know, look through it and mm-hmm. do whatever it is that she does. And hopefully it won't come back with too much red.
I know, right? But at the same time, when you look at a work that hasn't been edited or they miss some things, you appreciate, people catching those mistakes. So, Don't go by me. That's just me. Yeah. It'll be a cakewalk. Compared to, look, for other people, that part is probably, you know, the easy part. For me, it's the hardest part. So I learned, okay, don't do my shorthand anymore because I'm like, it's not shorthand if I've got to go back and redo all It may as well just do it the long way. But I am so happy for you. Proud
Thank
of you.
You.
Congratulations. I'm looking forward to having you back then so we can talk about your new book.
Okay.
When you're ready for it to be promoted, let me know. Let me know. And I am glad to be working with you again because, you know, it's a blessing to work with awesome people. And, you know, I have a great respect for you and your family.
Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm. Not a problem. Mm-hmm. It's the God in you and, you know, and the way you take care of your family. I just thank God for you. But you talk about in the Love Manifesto Anthology, you talk about a different type of love because a lot of us talked about romantic love. Some people talked about familial love, you know, family love. I would have thought you picked that one. But then again, this goes in keeping with your wheelhouse as a minister. You talked about, the love, our devoted, God. Well, you talked about us being devoted to God, God's love.
Yes.
And why did you choose that one?
Because for me, it's the greater and greatest love that mankind has because we love because God first loved us.
Amen.
You know, we were fashioned and shaped not only in the image of God, but the love of God.
Amen.
And that's clear.
Yeah. Preach.
I'll clap.
I mean, people do not understand that. And I think it's because we have in our churches watered down what it means to be created in the image of God. The Bible makes it clear God is a spirit. And then it also says God is love. And when he created us in his image, he created a spirit, folks. I mean, and that spirit is love. That's how
it is.
We love. And
yes, it
comes directly from him. When he breathed into us, he breathed in spirit and he breathed love. People don't seem to get that.
Yes. And that's why I thought it was really important, because what is clear as we look at things that are happening all around us is we're trying to find out where is the love? Where is the love? And I know I have those conversations with my family. Where is the love? Where's the love? Well, the love is here. Part of our struggle and our challenge is actually accepting that love.
Amen.
And the reason we know that is because in John 3:16, the word of God says, for God so loved the world. That's everybody. That's anybody. That's all bodies. That he gave his only begotten son.
Yes.
And so he gave us something. But remember, we have a choice whether or not we're going to accept it or receive it. And so as I'm saying, where's the love? Guys, the love has always been here.
Right.
It's been since the beginning.
Yes.
In the beginning was the word, right? So from the very beginning, love is there, but he's offering it. But what is missing is so many of us are not accepting it and receiving it. And when you accept and receive the Lord Jesus Christ, as your personal savior, you literally accept the fullness of God's love.
Yes.
And so that's really what's missing, us accepting the fullness of God's love. Mm-hmm. And when we don't do that, the love relationships we have are very shallow. And what happens when you have shallow water? You have shallow water, it looks pretty, it ripples, it flows, but dive into that.
And hurt
you. You get hurt. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing with love relationships. When it's shallow, when the depth isn't found in Christ, and you dive in to those relationships without Christ being a part of it, you get hurt. You get injured.
Yes.
You know, and so I chose to write about the love of God and our relationship with that love, because I felt you have to start from the beginning.
Amen.
And
amen.
So that's where it begins. But the cool thing about it is that love doesn't have an end.
It's amen.
That's another thing to understand. It's an eternal love. So when you start with an eternal love, then it lasts far beyond every circumstance, every situation, every trial, every tribulation. It's there in the joy. It's there when you're happy. It's always there. So you cannot walk out of it or away from it.
Amen.
That's actually what people are looking for. They're looking for a love that you cannot escape.
Right.
You know, well, what is it? What's the word of God tells us in Romans? It tells us nothing can separate you from the love of God. Nothing.
Amen.
That's what I want to write about.
Not even your sin.
A love that no one can separate us from.
Because he still loves you.
He sure does.
And that's another way that he teaches us, you know, that we're made in his image. You know, we talk about God the Father, but we don't look at it like you are a parent. A lot of us, you are definitely somebody's child, for better or for worse. You're somebody's child. And so you get to know from one end of the spectrum or the other, whether you become a parent or not, you are somebody's child. That guess what? No matter what I did wrong in my life, my mom and my dad still love me. Whoever raised me still loves
indeed.
Me. And God teaches us that, which is why it's really, really irritating when you have these people out here making folks feel like God don't love them. That, you know, they just evil, that they're just going to hell. And that is not what the Lord wants to tell you. Yes, there is a consequence to your actions, just like in your mom and dad's house growing up, there is a consequence to your actions when you don't do right. But that doesn't mean the love stops flowing your way.
It doesn't.
It's one of my pet peeves, because so many people have been turning away from the love of God because of this false doctrine.
And it is a false doctrine, you know, and that I'm so glad you mentioned that. It is a false doctrine because, first of all, we have to remember, as far as man and woman and boy and girl, all of us, when God created us, he said it is good. He didn't say it is evil.
Right.
He said it is good.
Right.
Okay. And that goodness, again, exudes from God, just like the love exudes from God. Mm-hmm. You know, so there are influences, okay, that no, I wouldn't call some of those negative influences good. But because I slip, I fall, I stumble, I stray, I sin. Let's just say it. That's what happens.
Exactly.
God doesn't stop. Right. It doesn't happen with your children either.
Right.
You know, and God is the ultimate parent.
Yes.
You know, the ultimate Barrett, you know, we are created in love and we're birthed in love. Seriously, we really are. And I know what the word of God says. I don't want anybody writing you or getting upset and say, well, does the word of God say it? It says we are shaped in iniquity and born in sin.
Yes. It
I
does.
Know exactly what it says.
Nobody said you weren't.
That's right. No one said you weren't. It doesn't negate the fact
that he still loves you.
That's it. It does not. You know, and we know it because one, we are not consumed. We are still here.
Exactly.
And out of that love also comes forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You know, and he forgives freely. You know, yes. And all of that freely flows from mm-hmm. God. And that's why I wanted to write about it, because I wanted people to understand that it doesn't matter what judgment man may have and what has said about you or what mm-hmm. he thinks about you. I need you to know what God says about you.
Right.
And he says you're fearfully and wonderfully made.
That's what he said.
You know? And so I need people to understand that. And again, that comes out of a love place. Mm-hmm. And if the world would just accept the love of God.
Yes. And not only that, the thing about it that really irritates me, you know, because you've got so many people out here that are hurting mm-hmm. and who have completely turned away from Christianity because of white nationalism, because of what we've been, you know, how we make people in the LGBTQ community feel and all that. Folks, at the end of the day, if the sun is still shining when you wake up in the morning, it's proof God loves you. If you can see the aurora borealis when those yes. harmful radiation beams from the sun yes. hit the earth, God is still loving you, because he could have just said, you know what? I'm going to take that away and yes. just let all of them get wiped yes. out. But he loves us all. The earth is still spinning. You still got water to drink. You still got shelter. You still got food. He is loving all of us the same way every single day, regardless of what choices we make, regardless of who worshiping a false God. He is still loving us, all of us. All and of we us. Need to stop lying to people. I mean, no, I'm not going to say that people who sin against God aren't going to pay the consequence if they don't turn and accept Christ as their savior, accept all the love that God gives them. But the thing about it is, he is still loving you. He is
That's
still
right.
providing for you.
That's he is right.
still waiting, just like a parent whose child is on drugs or, you know, ended up going to prison or something. You don't stop loving them, folks. You still care. You still go visit them. You still, you know, feed them when they come to the house. Give them an opportunity to come in and have a good night's sleep, and they might steal from you, knowing they were going to do it when you let them in.
Yes.
But you
yes.
still love them. Anyway, I'm sorry. You can see I'm a bit worked up now.
It's okay to be worked up about that, because we need to be worked up, you know, about people trying to destroy the message of love.
Yes.
So we need to be just as loud and bold and
anxious
about love and spreading love as those who would do the other thing. And, you know, that was a question I used to have as a little girl when I used to talk to my grandfather. My grandfather is from down here, Kinston, North Carolina. My father grew up in Kinston, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And I had a conversation with my grandfather. He has passed. He's also a minister. He was Reverend Richard King. Mm-hmm. I had a question for him one day. You know, when we would come visit, I would sit and talk to him. Mm-hmm. And what I was struggling with as a little girl was so much hunger mm-hmm. and people starving and people not eating, you know, and then you would hear about kids who were abused and things like that. And I'm going to church and I'm going to Sunday school and I'm hearing about this love. I'm hearing it. Mm-hmm. And I remember sitting down with him. I said, Pop, if God loves everybody so much, why mm-hmm. is there so much hunger? How mm-hmm. come people don't have places to live? How come children are getting abused? If God really loves everybody, now I'm a little girl.
Right.
You know, so it doesn't look like love to me.
Preach.
You know, all this stuff is going on because one of the things my parents did, they didn't shield us from news. You know, mm-hmm. they let us watch the news because that opened the conversation from the teach us, you know, from the things that we saw. So I was confused. And I said, so if God really loves us, then why all of this destruction, all this kind of stuff that's going on? Mm-hmm. And my grandmother said, God Yes, he loves you. He loves everyone. He loves even those people who are doing those things. Mm-hmm. But those things don't come out of God's doing.
Amen.
Those things come out of your choices. Mm-hmm. People are choosing not to share food. So what are you talking about? You know, I'm like, well, people choose not to share food. Because again, he's trying to bring it down to my level.
Right.
You know, about hunger and starving and things. Well, we even have systems. And people mm-hmm. can get angry, upset with me if they want to. But we have government systems that are worldwide global systems yep. that are set up that keep people hungry. Mm-hmm. Well, that's a man's choice to do that. Mm-hmm. That was never what God intended. And someone Preach. Says, well, how do you say, how do you know what God intended? Were you there? Because in the beginning, he created all the provision that we would need here on this earth, gave exactly. it to us freely, and told us to take care of it. And
exactly.
by taking care of that tending of that garden, that tending of those things that God gave us, those resources were mm-hmm. meant to feed everybody.
Right,
God did not
right.
create an earth that could not supply for the creation.
And sustain us. Mm-hmm.
Right, and sustain us. So when that stuff started getting locked down, that was not God.
Right, right.
You know, those are choices we made, but his love was still greater. Well, mm-hmm. how do you know his love is a little greater? Because guess what? We're still here.
Exactly.
We are still here and still capable of multiplying the love of God. Every time a baby is born, I mean, people may not look at this. Every single time a baby is born, we see more love.
Mm, preach.
So
preach.
As long as kids are still coming, the love is still flowing. Mm-hmm. So let's rejoice every time we hear, you know, that a baby's been born, because that is God's love multiplied one more time.
Wow.
You know, so. Well, That's how I see it.
I think people are, when it comes to that particular question, they don't take into account what really happened way back when. Mm-hmm. God created perfect human beings in yes. his image.
Yes.
So they had 100% spirit, 100% love. Yes. And then when they were tempted and they chose to sin against God, mm-hmm. then you have the introduction of the darkness. So you've gone from a spirit of light mm-hmm. to now having the light being crushed down to its just a pinprick mm-hmm. by this darkness that we call a soul.
That's
okay.
Because
right. God didn't make a soul. He gave you a spirit, and he tells you that his word will separate the soul from the spirit.
Yes.
So if it needs to be separated, that means that you didn't need to have it in the first place. But the thing about it is, the spirit connects you to the divine, the soul connects you to the demonic. And so while you are being tempted, you know, your flesh is being tempted because the demonic is sending you all these evil thoughts. And you're mm-hmm. choosing those evil thoughts. Then you have the greed. Then you have the abuse. Then you have the mass shootings. Mm-hmm. Then you have the white supremacy. You know what I'm saying? You have
yes.
all this
yes.
sinfulness to come in because people are choosing to listen to the demonic instead of listening to the divine, which is
yes.
the love that is within them. And don't get me wrong. I do realize, I truly do, that there is prophecy, you know, that yes. that you know, when we get to the end, men are going to become lovers of themselves more than
yes.
lovers of God. Do you think we're there? Because that's what a lot of people are saying, that this is the great falling away of the faith, and you've got a lot of people who have turned their back on Christianity, and you've got a lot of people, like you said,
yes.
saying it don't look like there's love. when you got people, you know, walking into a church or walking into a store or, you know, walking into a school and killing up as many people as they possibly can, that don't look like love. It does look like demonic forces at work. So do you think we're there? That we have reached that point where the prophecy is being fulfilled about the great falling away and men becoming lovers of themselves and more than lovers of God?
I think so, you know, and I know that's a real challenging, weighty subject to say, are we really there yet? Mm-hmm. One, because we don't want to believe that we're really there.
Right. Okay.
So, and I share this with my daughters because to be truthful, guilty as well. And the reason I said, I think we are there because mm-hmm. I'm just going to have to say the word, let's take a selfie.
Mm, yeah.
When you hold up that camera, to reflect you. Mm-hmm. That's lover of self. Mm-hmm. I didn't say taking pictures. Please, again, no one write and call in about taking pictures is not a sin.
Thinking right, girl.
Okay. Are you saying I'm sinful? Because I took a picture of myself because I've taken selfies and I've taken selfies with my daughters. Mm-hmm. Okay. But we have to, what I'm talking about is that that larger picture mm-hmm. that man has created mm-hmm. something mm-hmm. where we can just focus on ourselves, turning it yes. this way. Mm-hmm. Turning it from away from everyone else.
Right.
You know, focusing
right.
on self. So that's just one more tool to focus on self. We've been arriving here for a long time.
Yes. Yes.
We've been arriving here for a long time. And what people have to understand is the reason we've been arriving at that place mm-hmm. is because we've been arriving since the fall. It's been right. a downward spiral since the mm-hmm. fall. Mm-hmm. That's why we need Calvary, mm-hmm. you know, because something needs to break that fall.
Right,
so
right.
We've been coming here for a while. You know, again, selfishness is not new.
It's not.
You know, and so, yes, I think that we are fulfilling that prophecy, but it didn't just come down like, boom, we're here.
Right.
Through the course of time, mm-hmm. like everything else. And mm-hmm. so we've got one more tool that has it so that we focus on ourselves. And that's what that turning that camera is. It's mm-hmm. telling you and teaching you to focus on yourself. That's one device that we're using. Mm-hmm. So we're going to see even more and more as you look at things. Everything's about me, 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 you. There's a you.
Right.
I couldn't see you. I couldn't
right. see you. But that's the thing though. And I think people don't really get it. We talk about it in the health and fitness course and people were like, really? Why would you discuss this in health and fitness course? Because you have quote unquote experts telling you that you need to take care of you. And it's amazing that you need somebody, first of all, to tell you that, but they tell you to do it in such a way that is so selfish. They tell you, yeah. you can't lose weight for other people. They tell you, you know, that you need to take time out for you because, you know, if you're taking care of other people and you don't take care of you, how can you take care of them? All of it sounds really simple and logical. It really does. What is strange is that God already told you to do this. He just gave you a different motivation for doing
yes,
it.
It's the motivation.
Exactly.
That's where it matters because you do have to take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay. But it's the motivation. And again, I'm sorry. If my family's watching, listening, they're going to know she sounds like a broken record because I have to go back to the beginning because I can't
start
the
story. That's where it all starts. That's where it all starts.
Yes, God has every intention for each of us to care for ourselves. Hence the Sabbath.
Hey, preach. That's where it is, right there. Starting in Genesis, he tells you to rest. Preach.
So if you take that rest as God has told you, and that's everybody's taking the rest on the Sabbath,
yes.
you will be taking care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Okay? So let's go back to the beginning. God has every intention for you to look out for yourself.
Right.
But what has turned is they're not teaching you to eat the way you're supposed to eat or rest the way you're supposed to rest
preach.
Because it is so that you're able and equipped to do that which God has purposed you to do.
Preach.
That's not preach. It. It's just so you can look good. You know,
exactly.
You summer bodies.
Exactly.
And you come up, get your summer body. Get my summer body. You know, I have this body all the time.
All day, right? Every day.
Every season, right. I have to have this body every season, not just for the summer. So
right.
whatever I'm trying to do for the summer is what God intended me to do from the beginning.
And exactly.
They'll say, well, that's just the rest piece. What about the eating piece? In the beginning, he said you could eat of every tree except one. Mm-hmm. So that meant all of that was good nourishment for the body. Mm-hmm. So good nourishment for the body has always been God's intention. So we're supposed to be looking for ways to nurture the body mm-hmm. all the time and rest the body all the time. But we can do that individually. Wait. Or the context of family.
Because yes, preach.
Adam and Eve were a family. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Eve that was supposed to rest. It wasn't just Eve that was supposed to get a summer body. It wasn't just Adam. They were supposed to be working together.
Right.
So that means they're eating and nourishing their bodies in the context of a family. So
right.
the family's supposed to eat right. The mm-hmm. family's supposed to rest right.
Preach.
You know,
preach.
So yes. And so look at that. That camera is family focused. Mm-hmm. It's not self-centered.
Mm-hmm. And I, oh my gosh, thank you. because I've said it and I've said it and I've said it. I don't know if people have heard me say that. It is truly God's will for you to take care of yourself.
Yes.
The motivation is love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and all your strength. And number two, love your neighbor as you love yourself.
That's
family is your closest neighbor.
Yep.
We were told, Jesus promised us, you know, an abundant life. Part of that abundant life is your family.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to mistreat the body that is the temple of the Holy Spirit because it's God's. Yeah. So you need to exercise it. You need to feed it right. You need to take care of it, get it,
yes.
give it rest because it's his. It's not yours. Then he is giving it his gift of your body to your family. The ministry of being a wife, the ministry of being a husband, the ministry of being a child, a grandparent, an aunt, an uncle, all of that works together mm-hmm. to make an abundant life full of love and yes. joy and the peace of God, which surpasses all sin. Y'all have got to understand this is not about what you look like.
No.
It's all about your Lord and it's all about the other people in your life. Now, that said, so there, you know, I know there's some people out there who are like, well, okay, so what about me? Well, let's talk about what about you.
Yes.
If you eat right and you exercise, guess what happens? You lose weight, you get healthy. God blesses you first. Okay.
Yes.
You put God first, you put your family second, and you get the blessings of
yes,
God
you do.
First. Folks,
you do.
It's a totally different way of looking at this thing from what the world tells you. But God's plan is not meant to hurt you, folks. It's to bring you to an expected end, to give you a long, abundant, healthy life. He wants you to prosper in all
yes.
things and be in health. Y'all understand.
Yes.
The world
yes.
is fine to y'all.
Yes.
You do it his way. It works out so much better for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you worship him and oh my gosh. Anyway, I'm going to stop now. I'm going to let the pastor, the minister take over because I'm about to go in.
but all of that is true and also maintaining it.
Yes.
You know, and whether it's taking care of your body mm-hmm. or your relationships, mm-hmm. You have to learn to maintain what
yes.
you were given.
Yes.
At and through creation. And one of the things comes to mind for me when I talked about the whole family, of course, is also my family. There's two things. Last night, my daughters were setting the table mm-hmm. for dinner. And my one daughter was asking, okay, so what's everybody getting a drink, you know, for dinner? And, you know, well, my middle daughter, it was my oldest daughter asking, the middle daughter said, water. Mm-hmm. Everybody's getting water. Well, I'm looking around, you know, because I'm still a mother, you know, and she's telling me everybody's getting water. And I don't have a problem drinking water. I was planning to drink water, but I was just kind of figuring out how she going to tell me what I'm
drinking.
I'm a mother. To everybody, because everyone needs to drink water. It's good for everybody. And I can't think it later, but everyone needs some water.
Right.
And, you know, again, that holistic approach,
mm-hmm.
you know, she knows she needs water, mm-hmm. but she also needs water is good for everybody.
Exactly.
And so everyone needs to have some water, you
mm-hmm.
know, because it wasn't going to hurt us. So for us to drink some water. But I just think about it because my middle daughter, she's a biologist, but when she was an infant, I'm talking infant, like I just gave birth. I was in the still in the hospital.
Wow.
And at that time they bring the baby in, they bring the cart
yep.
in with the bottles. So they measure out what a child of that size and weight
should drink
that mm-hmm. will fulfill her. So mm-hmm. I'm feeding her the bottle. She takes that whole bottle down. No problem put down. She's still crying and all that stuff. And I had already had one child. That's
right.
in the work. So with the second child, I gave her a little, whatever they gave us some ounces. She was so hungry. So I said, I opened up another one. I fed her. So what ended up happening throughout the course of the day, the allotment that they had given to sustain her and what was good for her body to grow, I had run out. Come
right.
on, Holy Spirit.
Preach.
I had run out the resources and I needed more. The nurse comes and said, well, where's the formula? I said, well, she drank it. Well, what do you mean she drank it? You gave it to her? Yeah, she was still hungry.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you mean she was still hungry? She had all that she needed. Oh.
All that you thought she needed.
Okay. To grow. So I said, well, she needs more. She needs more. So no, they took the milk out and they would only bring it to me at the feeding time. I got upset. Wow. Give her the pacifier, whatever. I got upset. So we finally end up leaving the hospital and I said something to, her pediatrician, you know, who was going to be her pediatrician. And I said, and they took it. My baby was still hungry. She's crying, crying. She said, okay, we'll give her water to fill, you know. So I was like, okay. And it worked. That's the water drinker. That's the one that everybody drinks water, right? Mm-hmm. So it worked. I was upset. There was a lot of things at play because I wanted to feed her. And she said, be careful not to let her begin to overeat so young. Mm. Because the body, she's an infant. Mm-hmm. What's going to happen inside of her, you're going to set up what the body's going to tell you she needs to fill her and for her to, we gave you what she needs to grow. So I was like, well, why was she still hungry? Okay. Mm-hmm. Give her water. Well, as time went forward, I began to look at, what we need to sustain and maintain and what we may want.
Yes.
Was Jasmine still crying because she needed it? Was
or did she just want it?
Or did she just want it because she liked the taste of it?
Exactly.
What was happening? She's an infant. She can't articulate it. So are we feeding into her needs to grow? Or was I feeding into a desire? Can I use a word? And please, again, no writing. I'm not saying my daughter was born with a spirit of gluttony. I'm not saying what gluttony is.
Right.
Okay. Going beyond what is need for you to grow and becoming excessive. So what happened is I started learning how not to be excessive with food because I like to cook and I like to eat. That's real talk. And I like to feed. I really do. I want to have all that you want. That's fine. But when you get to the point that in nourishing your body, or any relationship that we go from giving you what you really need to be healthy and strong and you going, yeah, but I really could take another slice of that apple pie because it tastes real good. Okay. It did really taste real good. But in this seating, in this setting, just have your one piece of pie. There'll be some pie for later. I'm not saying never eat any more pie. Don't tell me that because people will tell you, here's my phrase, I love cake, cookies, and pies.
No sense of pretending.
Nope. Cake, cookies, and pies. I want 3 meals a day. And I told you, I want 3 meals a day, an afternoon snack, and a dessert. And I tell folks that for real because that's what I really want. That wasn't even the issue. Because even when I was talking to the doctor as they were getting older, you want to have a morning snack? They can have a morning snack. Give them an apple.
Right, right. Give them something healthy. And that's what I don't think people understand. If you are paying attention, I believe it's the American Association of Pediatrics, or rather American Pediatric Association. The doctors recommend that children are breastfed for a year, their first year of life, for a reason. I know not everybody can breastfeed. I was one of those people who couldn't breastfeed, but there's a whole lot going on at the beginning of a child's life that is causing them to become, let's just say it, addicted to food, the way that so many other people are, in their adult lives. You want to make sure that your child is getting, of course, the nourishment that he or she needs to thrive and survive. But you don't want your child becoming hooked on sugar and salt and all those things from infancy. And that is happening. It's real talk.
And that's what her pediatrician really was trying to send the message to me.
Exactly. Exactly. And so they tell parents, you know, breastfeed for the first year. We don't have, as you said earlier, a system in place that's conducive to that, because we don't really have a very sympathetic work environment for women to be able to breastfeed their kids and stay home from work, or to pump at work, you know, so that the child will have what is needed. So formula seems like a good idea, but it's not. And oh, the worst thing you can do is put rice in the babies. Oh my gosh. Stop doing that. Don't, do not do, you know, that little rice cereal that they put?
I do.
Do not do that. I mean, it is one of the worst things ever, but people do. It's like they, it makes the baby sleep. Uh-huh. When you overeat, what happens? You need a nap.
You sure do.
Exactly. So there are just so many different things that go into taking care of yourself and your family. And it's God's will for you to do that. You know what? We, it is 11:50. Good night. Mercy. Let me ask you this because we've been talking and I guess I didn't think to ask you, you know, how you truly, define love and what your snapshot of 1 Corinthians 13. I guess I should have started there, but we've been talking about everything else as usual when we talk.
That's okay. 1 Corinthians 13 for me, that is, you know,
favorite.
Yeah. And I think anyone who's trying to define it or understand it, if they go into the Bible and they look up 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and it just tells you exactly what love is, but it also tells you how love behaves.
Yes.
Love is a character. Love has character and tells you, you know, that it is kind, you know, and that's tangible. That's something for us to understand, you know, it tells you it doesn't envy and all that. So I always suggest that people go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13.
Yes.
Start from the beginning because when you just jump into, you know, what love is, you don't get that beginning portion, then you miss out on saying that if you don't have what we're about to describe, you're just noisy. Your life is noisy. Your relationships are noisy.
Yes. You know,
you're nothing without love. Well, that's because we're nothing without God. We're not even here without him.
Preach.
And so as it goes to explain what those things are, you know, you've got to go back to the beginning and read that if you don't have these things in your life and part of these things in your, with your relationships, then actually you don't really have anything but a whole lot of noise. Well, let's cut down the noise. And increase the love. And again, it's easy. And again, I make no assumptions and nor do I want to insult, but, anyone. But if you're trying to understand, I'm talking about going to the Holy Bible. Get yourself a Bible. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's in the New Testament. That's the second half of the Bible. And go to chapter 13 and it will define love for you. There's a whole lot of love chapters. And I have my chapter in the book, Love Manifesto. I have different scriptures about love.
That's
the signature right there. And here's the thing. The word of God says that, you know, love is what's going to last because the greatest, you know, faith, hope, love. The greatest of those three things, faith, love. Hope, love, is love. You want the greatest thing in your life.
Exactly. Exactly. And my kids will tell you, I read that scripture to them over and over. It is my favorite. It's, in my opinion, it's a litmus test for whether or not you have true love in your life. Love is patient. Love is kind. It doesn't envy. It doesn't boast. It's proud. Love is not rude. It's not self-seeking. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes. Love always perseveres.
Never fails.
And God is love. This is telling you about the character of God. The character that you are supposed to have within you.
And your children need to see that from you.
Yes.
And you need to love on them. And I say that, you know, I am the product of parents who loved on her. My mother, we bless her. She has since passed and she is now in glory doing all kinds of glorious things. I can only imagine, but my daddy's still here and he'll be turning 90 in June.
Oh, glory to God.
His mantra. I can't think of a day ever that my father does not, not only express love to all of us. I have an older brother and a younger sister, all of us and his grands and great grands, but that's all he ever talked about. You know, it's love, love, love. You gotta love, you gotta love, you gotta love. And to the point that, he came up with his own saying, that's actually inspiration for the chapter. The name of the chapter is Keeping Love Alive. Well, my dad came up with keep love alive.
Right.
And that's how he would talk to me. Said, remember, keep love alive.
Amen. Keep love alive.
And so we as parents have to understand if our children, if every generation after ours is going to experience love, we got to keep it alive.
Exactly. And it's hard because you have the way the world loves versus what God tells you love looks like and what it feels like. And it's not just your children, but even your spouse. When the Bible says love keeps no record of wrongs. So when something happens, do you throw it up? And you did this before and you did that before. No, if I am going to forgive you, which is a part of loving on you, forgiving you, I'm not going to bring all that other stuff up. Same thing with the kids, unless, you know, it's one of those teaching moments. Okay. You know, I gave you a warning.
Right.
And now you have done it again. That's different than bringing up everything a child ever did wrong in his or her life as if you just were waiting on them to do something else wrong. You know what I'm saying? And that's different from being, you know, from being patient and being kind. It's also something that you want to look for in your leaders, people who are telling you one thing and doing another.
That's right.
First of all, let me look at the litmus test of love to see if you have it. Second, let me see if the Holy Spirit is in you, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you telling me you are a child of God, but ain't none of these characteristics showing up on your tree that's bearing fruit, I got to assume that this is sour grapes and not the fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Because you are showing me something different from what the Bible has given me to look at. And we have got to, as Christians, do a much better job of educating the world on what it really looks like and what it truly means to be a Christian. And love is that first and foremost, but then all the other characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, oh, we out of time. We ain't got but 3 minutes. Mercy, mercy, mercy. I love talking to you. You know, we always have a good time when we talk. Yes. It's been a long time since we had a conversation, but it's like riding a bike.
It is.
But tell everybody the name of the book, how they can get the book, and, you know, how they can, I don't know if you are you currently ministering at a church, or if you are, how they can go to your church and hear you preach the word in person.
Okay, well, the book is called Love Manifesto, The Anthology, and you can get it on Amazon. You can look up and get it, and please purchase it. It's a book about love.
Right.
I just have one chapter in the book, but there are other authors, and we touch on the full spectrum of love, so please get the book because it's about love. Look up on Amazon, and you'll see it. Mm-hmm. Also, as far as where I'm ministering, I'm actually one of the ministers at Pastor John P. Key's church.
Awesome.
So I don't preach every Sunday because Pastor Key typically is there.
Praise the Lord.
For us. But if you're anywhere in the Charlotte area, please come to New Life Fellowship Center. We're at 1337 Samuel Street in Charlotte, North Carolina. And our pastor is Pastor John P. Key.
Glory.
You think you like his singing? You talk about a pastor that can bring a word.
Girl. You know,
so we're always open for you to come, and service starts at 10:30 a.m. You can get in at 10 o'clock, but service starts at 10:30 a.m.
Glory to God. That is, girl, I can't even imagine what that's like being at John P. Key's church. You're
preaching somebody.
Woo! Look, I just his
bring
look,
a
just,
word.
Yes, just his singing is enough, but okay, let me get out of the way. It's time for my favorite young men on the planet to talk to the people. AJ and Alex Taylor will be up next with the Teen Talk Truth radio show. And you don't want to miss it because they've got three dynamic guests, three awesome women of God coming up too. Thank you, Minister Cheney, for being with us. I will be in touch with you soon about when you're ready to promote your other book, lady.
Okay.
All right. Y'all have a blessed weekend, everybody.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye.
Outstanding broadcast, and outstanding. All right. Hey, we're going to take a quick music break and be right back with Teens Talk Truth right here on Studio W The Buzz. Mm-hmm.
Jehovah, you have touched my life again. You made